Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cadle, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
They thought they had us, Matt. The people, the haters on the internet, thought that they had us. And after 292 straight weeks of never missing a podcast, being there for our listeners, for our preachers, for the folks in the pews, they thought they were going to catch us slipping. But here we are, Matt, 293 weeks in a row of bringing you a life-changing podcast about preaching. I'm Zach Paris, pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado Boulder. And on the back end of a viral situation that was not fun for most of last week.
Knocked out. Just like you just wanted that experience of Jesus being knocked out for 3 days.
That's right.
If and rising again.
3 days.
If it were only 3 days.
You know, you go through this, like you experience, you know, there's in the Greek, dear listener, there's Chronos and Kairos, right? These different conceptions of time. And you get to experience all the different ways time works. Like all those days where you're like, surely I'm going to feel better tomorrow. Right? But then you don't. And it's just the same. But then one day you do feel a little better, but there's that like, oh, well, yes, I'm sick now, but I'll get better. Right. Like this is common cold. It's hard
but don't,
to
don't worry to your listeners. It didn't feel like COVID.
Nor did my rapid response test say that it was COVID. I didn't have a feel like, you know, gosh. These days when you get a cold, if you're fully vaccinated and boosted, as I am, and as I think everybody should be, would be really clear on those points. Sometimes, you know, like you want to feel a little more justified in how bad you feel, you know, and people aren't like I had to cancel all these things, Matt. And it's a giant pain because you work really hard. A thing I didn't know I'd have to do as a pastor is you work really hard at scheduling yourself.
Yeah.
Because other people aren't able to do it for you. And then like you get sick and you're like, oh, I have to cancel all of these things that I've worked to schedule and that hopefully we'll be able to make it happen again. I missed church on Sunday morning. I didn't go to Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. Didn't make it for either one of those. And when you have to do all that, you say like, oh, I'm sick. And, you know, things are changing for the better, right? But, like, saying, oh, it's just I think it's just a cold doesn't, like, engender the same sort of, like, empathy. That, like, if you said, well, I have COVID, people are like, yeah, for sure, we got to cancel everything. I still have that little voice in my head from my father who runs the lumberyard that it's just a cold. So that means you go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, we kept my daughter home from school last Monday with a runny nose. And I never would have done that before. Never would have done it. But,
just, no.
You know, I'm pretty looking at her funny all day.
Out of an abundance of caution.
An abundance of caution, indeed. But yeah, it can really mess things up. I mean, thanks be to God if it's not putting you in the hospital. Always a good thing, right? But yeah. I was a little worried this week. I had my father-in-law visiting. He got a cold. And I was like, I really hope it's not COVID. And I really hope I don't get it. Because I got Holy Week coming up. And most things I can like, I felt like last fall with all the COVID scares, I had it figured out where I could like hand everything over and it would be fine. Like, we'll figure it out. But we got this Easter vigil coming up with 5 baptisms. And we have this theology that says that only I can do that baptizing. I'm like, oh God. But no, still helpful.
I'm here.
I'm sorry you were sick. I'm glad. Yeah, you're gonna
zoom down. I'll fly in.
Fly in.
Baptize some people and fly out.
You've done it before.
We'll see. Yeah.
Incredible.
Out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah. Well, it is Holy Week. It's Holy Week.
It is Holy Week. We're recording on Holy Week. We don't normally do this. My health situation pushed our recording back to Holy Week itself, Holy Week of Monday. Happy Holy Week to you, Matt, or Blessed Holy Week is more proper folks might say.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in it. We had a nice Palm Sunday yesterday. We did a little Palm Sunday protest march, processional rally down the street with some signs. It was good. It was fun stuff.
I saw you looking like Michael Stipe with your megaphone.
My megaphone? Is that a Michael Stipe look?
Yeah. I'll send you some links and stuff. It's like, yeah.
I was really excited when somebody suggested, well, if we're going to do chants, like, does anybody have a megaphone? And I was like, I could order a megaphone and I could put it under worship supplies. This is fantastic. I'm really, really excited. It was my first time saying God is good all the time through a megaphone. Pretty good stuff.
Orange Crush off of of Monsters, a megaphone song.
Incredible. Yeah, now we're in Holy Week. My daughters are on spring break, which
that's
always
used for you.
It used to be super helpful that the Los Angeles Unified School District was on spring break during Holy Week because I could get all the young people at church to help out with all my Holy Week stuff because they had nothing else going on, and it was great. Now I have my own kids, and it's all coming back to bite me. So, yeah.
They're not there to help you out with Holy Week
stuff? I'm going to drag them to the Chrism Mass tomorrow, and we'll see how that goes. Should be fun. So yeah, we've got, I think we're just going to talk about Easter today, but we'll run you through. We've got Maundy Thursday coming up.
I'm excited. I'm not here to
do anything
on. Oh, we are, you know, we work together with St. Aidan's and do the full Triduum with St. Aidan's in a somewhat proper fashion in the evening.
Single bulletin? Do you do a single bulletin?
Single bulletin. I'm supposed to edit right now.
Oh, wow.
I've not yet done that.
Love it.
But here's the thing, Matt. On the social medias, all I'm seeing is, like, don't do a Seder, which we've discussed before on the podcast. I'm not seeing anybody saying, like, I'm really hyped to do public foot washing. Because that's what happens. And we're back at it after 2 years away. It's been 3 years since we last offered to wash the feet of people on campus. So on Thursday during the day, 10 to 2, the University Memorial Center, you can find us. We're going to have a crock pot full of warm washcloths with lavender scented oil on there, right? And we're going to offer to wash the feet of students who pass by. It is not the most popular thing we do, but it's kind of like public art and important and interesting, and we'll see what happens this time around. That is my suggestion, my insider's tip on Maundy Thursday. I'm not gonna tell you how to preach it, but crock pot, washcloths, water in your crock pot, and then drop a little oils, right, like a little lavender oil in there, and it's gonna be nice.
Nice. I'm taking notes right here.
Good
stuff.
Good.
That's Thursday. Good Friday. Y'all got Good Friday. What are you doing for Good Friday? Public crucifixions? Anything?
Public crucifixions. No. We've got our Good Friday deal, evening worship with St. Aidan's, following the Book of Common Prayer. How about y'all?
Nice.
You doing, is it the, New City Parish?
New joint? City Parish. Yeah. Going virtual this year, which I wasn't super excited about. And then I realized it would be a lot less work during the actual week of Holy Week. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. but it did allow us to do it like a virtual Stations of the Cross. So I suggested, this is how it happened. Somebody was like, yeah, we could just record all the lines in the sanctuaries of the different churches. And I was like, it would be a lot easier. And I was like, or we could not do the easy thing. And we could try to record outside in your church's neighborhood at a place where you think that Station of the Cross is lived out today. And they all kind of were like, okay. Yeah, we could, or I guess we could do that too. So we're going to see where Jesus is, where the Stations of the Cross are in our communities in Los Angeles, Inglewood, and Compton. I'm very excited. We filmed at the empty lot next to the church for the eighth station. Jesus is laid in the tomb. And I had Alyssa, one of our college students, she said, this is a tomb, and then described how it was a tomb, and then ended with, let's see what God can do with a tomb. Let's see what God can do with a tomb. I'm so excited. It's so good.
This may be too late for my suggestion, but I do have one on Monday of Holy Week for your Good Friday, Matt. Since it's a virtual Stations of the Cross, what if, like Super Mario Brothers 3, you had a title shot of like the stations, like on like the world view, you know, like you had to get through the levels?
Yeah. Yep.
And you could do it kind of an 8-bit, like that would be.
That'd be really good. Yeah. I'm going to file that one away. I've got a pretty big Super Mario fan here at church, one of our elementary school students. So I'm going to file that one away. We're going to see if we can pull that out. Yeah, and then Vigil of Easter. Zach, we're doing it. Doing it again. We're back after 3 years away. Woo. We're back in person. I mean, we did some virtual vigils. We did a virtual vigil 2 years ago. We had the Triduum
project. We did one.
And it was me, it was pretty and was,
yeah. 12,000 of our closest friends.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was pretty fun. I almost burned my face off trying to do a video of the fiery furnace. great stuff. Lots of fun. Last year I did it with a bunch of different youth groups. We did a virtual vigil, but we're back in person. I got 5 baptisms, Zach. I'm so excited.
I'm so jealous.
Who cares about numbers? Who cares about numbers? Unless numbers you're baptizing five kids on an Easter vigil. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. And then Easter Sunday. It's always kind of an afterthought, but you know, it's coming too.
I am breaking out the solo stove. The solo stove is going to be our Easter vigil fire. So
have you chopped up the wood small enough to fit inside the stove?
That is the thing I don't tell you about the solo stove is that you need to recut your wood side. It needs to fit in the stove.
You can order specially cut wood from the solo stove company, which to me just sounds like a Ponzi scheme, but you
that
know,
is
just chop it up.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever done. Or you can just use the saw you keep in your shed in the back, Matt, and cut it up yourself.
Oh, I know.
Chop
saw.
Amazing.
I get a chop saw. Will you light it, Zach, with a wire coming down from
you know, I the could. Heavens? I could do it because here's what you do, Matt. This is too inside baseball. There's like a grill on the bottom with holes, right? Like the wooden stuff sits on. You could pretty easily, I think, affix something to tie it around one of those holes in the middle of the fire, or in the middle of the pit, and then run that up to somewhere and have it shoot down. That's pretty good.
I definitely think this is the year to do something risky with fire in Boulder, Colorado. Oh, I think that's probably maybe. Go for it, Zach.
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing. The Triduum. So excited. And then after we go through the 3 days, I guess we're left with these texts. We have to preach the next morning.
You got to preach the next morning.
It's taken me this long, Zach. I think I'm finally there 10 years in, but it took me. I learned in seminary that the great 3 days are the most important thing in the church year. And so I preached that for a decade. Before finally understanding that, like, actually, Easter Sunday is also really important to your congregational people. So weird. Make sure that you don't just get the short shrift. So we just take a few minutes, I guess, to talk about these texts.
Let's talk about it for our last minute Easter preachers.
Let's do it. I know that everyone's going to preach on Acts 10.
They love, I mean, that's the thing you got to do on Easter is talk about Cornelius. Introduce a new character.
In the finale. We're going to introduce a new character. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Wow. Any thoughts on this Acts text?
No, I don't have any thoughts on anything but the gospel.
Nothing at all. I mean, it's just, the message is for everyone. So, do something like that. Isaiah 65 is kind of nice opening line. I'm about to create a new heaven and a new earth. So that's a fun thing you could do some stuff with. Do we need a Dave Matthews Band commemorative 1 Corinthians?
Not this week.
Sorry, Reverend Burns. Sorry. Yeah. We're going to just zoom to John. We're doing John 20 or Luke 24.
Let's take a look. Yeah, I'm prepared to talk about each of these. Early, this is John 20, which is probably what most people are using. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went. There's a lot of running in the John account, which is kind of fun. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple. If you're not looking for listening to the Gospel of John, listening for the other disciple, the unnamed, the beloved disciple, who's supposedly John, it can slip by that there's like another person here. So just, I don't know, the other disciple is weird. Interesting to note. The one whom Jesus loved, of course. And said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." rule of threes, I think, is going to, or at least twos, is going to come into play with that phrase. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. And those two were running together. But the other disciple, not only beloved by Jesus, but swifter of foot than Peter, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came and followed him and went to the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, but that it was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself, like it had been folded and put away. The resurrected Jesus, big fan of folding clothes. Then the other disciple, the beloved one, who was very fast, reached the tomb first. Also went in. What? Okay. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first, a little confusing because he did reach the tomb first, poked his head in, didn't go in. Then he comes all the way in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples said, that's enough. And they went home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, here it is again, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She told them that he had said these things to her. The good news of the Lord, then.
Praise you, O Christ.
Ooh. This is a good, it's so good. It's a good one, Matt. Yeah. Which is why you probably get it almost, you, it is the preferred reading, gospel reading every Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've used this, at the vigil. And I'll tell my favorite thing about telling this story when we did the big vigil was turning on the, I had all the lights off until Jesus says, Mary, and then the lights twinkled on, and it was such a beautiful moment. Ooh. It totally worked. But like, yeah, like you said, there's so much running in here. There's running, there's confusion. Who's going and when? I'm not really sure. It's super messy, which is just a wonderful way to think about resurrection, right? Like, it's just, it's all messy and confusing, and what is happening? Just amazing stuff. I also love, like, so this reminds me so much, like she didn't know it was Jesus. She saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And it's the same thing that happens in the Emmaus story, right? Which is a different gospel writer entirely. So it's not like it's like John's theme or something is not recognizing Jesus. No, this is like across gospel writers that like they see Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus, right? And what is that like? We don't do enough with that. Like what is happening with that? You know, like it's just fascinating stuff. So lots going on here. Messy, confusing. Yeah. Love it.
Our longtime listeners, Matt, have probably gotten tired over 292 episodes of me talking about how my favorite part of that Easter is that Jesus doesn't show up for it. He's not really there. But hey, it's Easter Sunday, Matt, and I'm stuck with that again, that Jesus is not there. And that is just, wow. Like, it's just really profound, I think. And the how I think about it, what grabs me about that idea this time through is the empty clothes that are laid there. They've come to the empty tomb to look for Jesus. And there's the shell, empty shell, right, of what they thought Jesus is or was, right? And if you want to take that image, right, like, what are all of the empty shells that we put, that we find at the heart of our lives, that are not full of the resurrected Jesus? What are the, I mean, there's some funny places to go here, right? Is Jesus naked as the gardener, like as the resurrected Jesus? Did he get other clothes? But they make such a big deal about like his hat's in here, his clothes. There's an empty shell there.
Yeah.
And that if you're looking for Jesus, don't look in the tomb, because that's not where Jesus is. But Jesus is out in the world, and that Jesus, you know, very particular here to notice, right? If you're looking for Jesus, look for the weeping woman, because that's where Jesus is going to show up. So in the unexpected places, when you crack it open, where this story lacks the, I always really like the Matthew's version where Jesus has gone on ahead of you, right? So Jesus is out there in the future waiting for us. This story lacks some of that, right? But that there is still, I'm really drawn into the shell stuff, like the empty clothes. I'm, as a person who just got all their clothes back, or most of our clothes, I also got some other people's clothes back. I think of that John Prine. Yeah, we didn't get everything back. And I've got a suit. I got a nice suit that doesn't fit me. It's too small. That if anybody is missing a suit out there, it's pretty nice. It's Tommy Hilfiger. It looks nice. Tailored, it seems. Not for me, though. It's at my house. I'm thinking about that line in the John Prine song, like Hello in there, right? Walking around in other people's clothes. Like, I think there's, that's the kind of image that I'd be interested in playing with.
Yeah. Good stuff. There's some clothes in the Luke text as well. On the first day of the week at early dawn, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
What's with the clothes, Zach? Here we go again, linen cloths. Dazzling clothes from these other two men.
Elton John is at the tomb.
Amazing stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, like, it's not quite the same. I mean, here we are in one of the Synoptic Gospels. Not quite that just kind of terrifying ending of Mark, but there is still some terror and some fear. And there's also this kind of heartbreak of they're not trusting each other, right? They don't believe them. And there's kind of some heartbreak in that. So still some messiness and some confusion, but also the joy sprinkled throughout. So yeah, lots going on.
The Episcopal priest here at St. Aidan's has, a sequined chasuble, like a gold sequined chasuble that she wears, I think, only at the Easter vigil. I don't even think she wears it on Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, because it's way out of character for her. And it is fantastic. I love it. What I'm thinking of this year with this text is, you know, well, first of all, let me go back and say what the world needs is a few more good church memes, one of which talks about how, you know, if you want your Easter service to be true to the Bible, only women should preach at Easter. Because, again, the women go and tell everybody what happened. So you can live into that in your own way. But I think that it's interesting. I like that phrase. These words seem to them an idle tale. And so I think there's a way you could go where you could really lean into, like, again, Easter Sunday is a crazy time in the life of your congregation. There are going to be a ton of people there who you will not see again ever for another year, for another 6 months. And to many of them, it might sound like you're telling an idle tale. And so, again, I say don't shy away from that, right? Like, it's just an idle tale. I think, you know, with your Elton John and your sequins and your glitter and like this, like obviously like, that's, yeah, I just love that image of the sequined chasuble. Cause it reveals the emptiness of the clothes in some ways, you know, like that's a thing that always kind of bothers me at the in churches as a somewhat professional, like church goer is my least favorite worshiping experience is when I worship with a community where it feels like they're all pretending like they're doing worship. Like we're all pretending that this thing is happening and that it's important and this stuff, you know, and that we're doing an emperor has no clothes sort of thing, you know? And so leaning all the way into it, right? So you're wearing the dazzling clothes, you're telling this ridiculous idle tale. I think there's a fun way that you could lean heavily into that and then kind of twist out of it at the end with like the wink, the knowing wink of like, oh, it's just an idle tale. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Here we are 2000 years later. Just an idle tale.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that seems like a good way to end it. And you need a little bit of, with all the triumphalism, maybe appropriate triumphalism of the hymns and the trumpets, or whatever your instrument of choice is, on Easter Sunday, there'll be a lot of triumphalism in the songs. Yeah.
Break out the kazoo choir, ukulele band,
all of the above. And, yeah, give it that little, we'll get a nod in your preaching. Good stuff. What are we going to listen to this Easter Sunday?
Matt, I, you know, as a former semi-professional distance runner, love a good running race. And I hear it getting going here. And there's no song better prepared to soundtrack your race to the empty tomb on Easter morning than Cakes the Distance, which is kind of, it fits both texts, really, right? Because it's about this race, but it's also ridiculous. And so it has an element of the sequined chasuble about it as well. Yearns for the cup, he deftly maneuvers and muscles for rank on an empty tank. Then Matt, I'm all in on the latest sensation. Have you been listening to this band, Matt?
No, I just saw something about, but I haven't listened yet.
So good. You got to get into it, Matt. Check it out. NPR like blew them up this week, but I was already on board. Because of TikTok. TikTok sensations turned NPR darlings Wet Leg, a female duo out of England, have some fantastic, super hooky, weird, inappropriate, good song. The one I'm going to put on here is the writing's very clever. It's said really, like it's really great. Chaise Lounge. Hey, you over there on the chaise lounge in your underwear. And then it ends with like, you should be horizontal now. So, you know, everybody's up and running around. Jesus is resurrected up off of the chaise lounge in the tomb. Check it out. It's really good. And then Matt, your favorite, with the work that the disciples, that the women are called to do, to just go and tell everybody, tell the truth of Jean-Baptiste's latest award-winning release.
Good stuff. I love it. Love it. Jean-Baptiste's song on there. I'll throw Freedom on there, which was the song he performed. I'd never seen the video until after the Grammys. And I was like, oh, this is really good. This is good. I like this a lot. I've been saving the song for Easter Sunday. It's just that good. It's that exciting, Zach. After we thought that the Chance the Rapper was done, he had this incredible debut. Well, not really a debut. It's just kind of a, you know, coloring book. Kind of brought him from that indie rap scene into just the stratosphere. And then he had this follow up album that just wasn't that great. Let's just be real, Zach. Wasn't that great?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
His first album wasn't great. Yeah.
First album. I don't understand mixtapes, albums. I don't get it. But Coloring Book was fantastic, and then his next album, not so great. We thought he was maybe down for the count, but here we go. The resurrection of Chance the Rapper. Dang. He's back in such a big way. Child of God is the new single, and it's so good. It's like, it's just, it takes me back. I love it. I can listen and repeat. It's got an incredible video with some original artwork. Very, very creative stuff. Worth reading about that video. But just even the song by itself in your car on the way to church to record this podcast. Just so, so good stuff. So a child of God, which is what we all become in light of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. And so is Chance. That's what we got. That's what we got.
I like it, Matt. I like it.
Well, it's been real.
Real vinyl.